taking zombie takeout, but it doesn't seem strong enough. I have a hard time concentrating. Welcome to episode 49 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And this week, we've been talking about Mr. Lucas for a couple of weeks now, having a bit of an ongoing debate.
That's about time he made an appearance here.
Yes, yeah, so this week we are talking about his first movie, THX 1138.
Yes, and just a little program note here. We may have a little... Difficulty recording this week because...
Okay, you didn't tell me about this before we started.
Well, here in Chicago this time of year, something happens called the Air and Water Show.
Uh-huh.
It's in just a couple of days, and they sort of practice over my house.
Aha, uh-huh, okay.
So every now and then you just might get like a strafing plane just kind of grazing roof or something.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Good to know. So I guess with that, we're on to Scotto's impromptu plot summary.
Well, yeah.
Brought to you this week by Red Capsules, when you need something stronger.
Only accept no imitations.
Mm.
This one really is actually a lot easier if you think about it. In fact, well, first I was going to say in my criticism of the film, there's some holes in the story, and then I thought about it. Well, there really isn't much of a story at all.
No.
You can kind of divide up the movie into three parts. You have the beginning, which is a glimpse of the future, or THX at work, at home, and in love.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're in the future. THX, who is our hero of the story, played by Robert Duvall, so you really should have watched Apocalypse Now before doing this episode to get some of the jokes that, you know, I'm going to tell later on here.
Hopefully most people have seen it.
They better have, or else we need to do an episode ourselves of that.
Mm.
So yes, in the future, the TV is kind of mindless. People are taking drugs left and right just to deal with their problems. And, well, I guess this is the future.
Yeah, exactly what I was thinking.
And they like the color white.
Hmm.
Part two of the movie is THX being incarcerated.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny because when they do arrest him, my reaction was, well, wait a minute. Wasn't he already incarcerated to begin with? Was that what that was? How could you tell? What's the difference? And yeah, it's about him in prison then, and really it's just a creepy prison without walls of any sort.
Hmm.
Then the third part, of course, is the escape of THX, where it all suddenly turns dark and gray and blue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from that moment they step out into that subway of people.
Yes.
Everything just kind of changes, and you're just left going, wow. And it's pretty much one long car chase.
Yeah, pretty much.
And hilarity ensues.
Mm-hmm. Now, the subway of people you're talking about, this is when they find somebody who tells them this is the way to the surface, and they go through the door.
Yes.
Now, that particular scene, I was expecting to get to this a little later, but since you set it up.
Sure.
Did that remind you of another movie? Maybe a Terry Gilliam movie, maybe Brazil.
Yes. I was thinking that's where you're going with that. Right. I guess that's where Gilliam got it from.
Apparently, because that particular scene, because they walk through this door, they think they're going to the surface and escaping.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up going just back into the city, and there is literally wall-to-wall people.
Yeah, that whole scene is very reminiscent of Brazil, now that you mention it. The whole people, the frenzy that's going on there. Right. I think he did take a lot from this. Mm. And that's a movie that we will no doubt do near future, I think.
Now, of course, it doesn't need to be said, but I'll say it anyway. Lucas isn't really known for his, how you say, originality.
Right.
So this one borrows very heavily from Brave New World.
Mm-hmm.
And
Orwell.
Orwell. And also a story called The Penultimate Truth by Philip K. Dick, but was ripped off for the movie The Island.
Hmm.
You know, where they're underground and in this city that they can't leave, and they have this, you know, sanitized existence.
Right. And, I know where you're going with that. In fact, looking at this, just how his visuals were, I really wish he could team up with a good writer, you know?
Yeah. Actually, his writing, I've never really had a problem much with his writing. And again, I've said it before, his directing. Now, I came to a realization about Lucas with this one. Because I've been bagging on his directing for years now, and it's of course fashionable to do that ever since the prequels.
Yeah.
The problem is not his directing as a whole, because he does action scenes really well. It's dialogue scenes. Give him two actors in a room talking, he's lost.
I don't know. I think this one it worked though. The mumbling, just these are comatose people.
Yeah,
and I think
it does lend itself to his directing style, if you will.
And given a good enough actor like Mr. Robert Duvall
or Donald Pleasance.
Right. I can't see, if he had, Mark Hamill in this, this would have been a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but I wanted to stay married to her!
Well, just to be clear, Mark Hamill, episode 1, 2, original trilogy era.
Episode
Hamill's,
4.
Hamill's gotten a lot better.
Right. But I want to stop taking the red pills. Oh,
that just reminds me of a anecdote I'd heard, a story I'd heard from Ron Howard. I think it was this came out around the time of the prequels.
Yeah.
He was accepted to film school. He told Lucas, and Lucas's advice to him was to go into animation so he wouldn't have to deal with actors.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, Lucas, that has been his weakness. I mean, dealing with actors. Mm-hmm. And, now that we're on the tangent of the prequels, he's had good talent there.
Yeah.
It's just been his inability to direct, to really use them properly.
He can't do dialogue scenes. It's his kryptonite.
Because, Christensen took so much from shit from prequels.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. I've seen him in other stuff.
Okay, I haven't.
He's a good actor.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, Natalie Portman.
Oh,
she's a good actress.
Sam Jackson.
Right.
Starting to think,
Neeson's hit or miss, but,
Yeah, I'm blanking
McGregor.
On the guy's name. McGregor, yes.
McGregor's fantastic.
Yes.
He made The Island watchable.
Debatable, but okay.
God, he did. If it was another actor or even actress,
I'll agree with watchable. Okay.
You'd have been ready to lynch the projectionist in the movie theater.
Now back to THX.
Yes, back to the movie at hand. Let's wait for episode 100 to do Star Wars.
Yes. Another issue with the movie, and this was the second time I've seen it all the way through. And actually, I liked it a lot more this time. I think I just had to maybe mature a bit. But the big problem, or I guess you could say problem or not, is that the pacing for at least the first half kind of rivals 2001.
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of people bring up 2001
in
comparison, but I think they're just talking about the pacing
than
the actual plot.
No, there's no other similarities aside from their science fiction.
Right.
But it does have that very slow, sort of thing going. And as you pointed out, because they're on drugs, it does fit.
Well, here's my confession for this movie. This is the first time I've ever made it to the car chase.
Wow.
I've attempted to watch this a couple times late at night.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the wife's asleep, you know, the next room over, so the volume on the TV isn't very high. And 90% of the dialogue is missed. So, and then there's no action to actually watch. Of course, yeah. The first time you're watching, I'm like, man, this is going to be like Star Wars or something,
exactly.
Man.
I think that was another issue I had the first time I saw it, because I figured Lucas, Star Wars, you know.
Right. This is going to be kick-ass. And then you're like, wait, it's a white room. It's another white room. They're still in the white room.
With black curtains near the station.
You start turning into Regis Philbin, enough with the white room already.
You mentioned the car chase. I do have a bit of trivia. Yes. Shortly after he steals the police car, and shortly before his fellow escapee crashes the one he tries to steal, you could hear someone on the radio say, "I think I ran over a Wookiee back there on the expressway." Did you catch that?
No, I did not.
It's just after, like I said, after the other car crashes, and he kind of pulls out, stops the car, and looks behind him. Right then, you can hear it. It's muffled, but if you're listening for it, it's clear.
Now, speaking of the car chase, did you not think of Attack of the Clones?
Oh, yeah.
And the chase through Coruscant. Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, I mean, most of the technology is laughable in this movie. They have analog computers and film cameras.
Right.
But the cars, he actually got pretty close on. They actually look like could be modern cars for the most part, except for the giant engines in the back.
Well, yeah, and if you just start having them fly around, you have the chase.
Yeah,
even course. Well,
Lucas is a gearhead, so I guess that's the one thing, if he's going to get something right.
Right, he's always loved cars. American Graffiti was his next film after this. And really, everything in Star Wars, the pod races, I mean, those were all about, you know, those just the love of cars.
Yes.
More than anything else.
And there's another thing I think he kind of got right in terms of a prediction. I think, although it may have been around at the time, I'm not sure exactly when it was invented, there's an AI program called Eliza. It's mostly used a lot of times. Well, its initial intention testing was for as a therapist, computerized therapist.
Okay.
And the Jesus in the Box, OHM.
Yes.
Or OHM. Very much like Eliza. All it does is restate your problem and say, that's interesting, and that sort of thing. It just, OHM made me think of Eliza.
Which, I guess, I don't know if that was his I guess his psychiatry is a religion. Mm. I mean,
yeah.
Or was it against both separately? Or
religion as psychology.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was more a comment on religion than... I think effectively it was, which has kind of another one that's kind of come to be, is kind of the fast food religion.
Yeah.
I think that's what I got from it.
Well, and of course all the use of medication and everything.
Yes.
I think you tie it all in together and it's...
Well, that he was dead on with that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised our medicine cabinets don't talk to us already, actually.
And... It's a short scene, but if you notice early on, he came up with the idea for Cops. The TV show Cops.
Right. That's know where you go with just the guy beating the...
THX is flipping through the channels, and one of them is a cop beating on someone.
You know, and speaking of the cops, which one do you think was more freakier? The stormtrooper 6 years later with those, you know, weird white and black masks, or these dudes in silver?
You mean the T-1000s?
Dressed as cops, yes.
He also came up, I guarantee you, T-1000 in T2 had to be based on this movie.
Well, there is one scene with the helicopter in T2.
Well, he goes
he
metal,
turn
yeah,
to silver, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And he looks exactly like this guy. They're at the cops here. And in fact, you kind of do get the feeling there's stormtrooper chatter, which is my absolute favorite scene in all of Star Wars, I think, is when did you see the T-30?
the obligatory THX reference, yeah.
Yes. I love that. You know, aside from the, so, how's it going? I can't help but laugh. You know, you're like, you know, they're not elbowing each other. Did you see the new girl on deck five?
Yeah. And speaking of random chatter, the scene where they're running tests on him. And you get to see, you have the shot of him with this kind of crosshairs thing on a monitor, with this crosshairs thing on him. And you have two technicians just randomly chatting, kind of making jokes.
And wasn't one of those voices, the guy that went on to play Charles Winchester on the show MASH?
Yes, David Ogden Stiers. It was his film debut, actually. He was credited as an announcer. I don't know if he was one of those voices, but he did have a voice somewhere in the movie. Did you notice that he was miscredited in the closing credits?
Yeah, they didn't quite get his name right.
He was credited as David Ogden Stiers.
Lucas. And speaking of the credits, I know we've used the phrase speaking of a lot
for some reason.
But it was kind of weird, the beginning where they're scrolling downward.
It went backwards, yeah. Maybe a bit of, it went the same way as the Star Wars credits, actually, didn't it? As the crawl.
I guess you could say that.
So maybe it was a bit of a precursor.
The crawl, though, kind of goes away.
Yeah.
This just
so it makes a bit more sense.
This went kind of straight up, where it kind of gave you this feeling of, or actually they went straight down, I should
say.
Yeah. Where they were, he kind of had this feeling of flying. It was kind of weird. It would have been cool if he'd done that for Star Wars, probably, than the crawl, I might say.
Yeah. Well, the crawl is kind of classic.
Yeah, well, of course, now it's iconic. But
yeah.
Could you imagine a crawl for this? It is a time of...
drug use
great
and no sex.
In the galaxy.
Yes. And that gets to another, trying to get to another point in my notes here. I mentioned the no sex part. They have, this is also a society where sex has been outlawed.
Right.
They don't establish if it's for population control or to keep people docile. Probably both.
Yeah.
Now, I was a little confused when, knowing that, a little confused when they had him watching porn.
Yeah.
Until I was confused, I was thinking, why is there porn in a society that has no sex? And then, that's why.
Well, I was thinking of the movie Idiocracy, which is probably something we'll do here in the future. Mm-hmm.
But shortly thereafter, they show you why.
What, the...
The milking machine, if you will.
Oh.
Yes, he's watching the adult entertainment and hooked up to something and clearly enjoying it. Something we did not need to see.
If he says it's safe to watch this porn, it's safe to watch this porn. I'll put on any channel to suit you, young captain.
Now, we have a bit more about the cast. Just because I want to get to a couple actors. Donald Pleasance plays Sen, who is kind of a stalker.
Yeah, he's quite the creepy one.
Yeah.
There's debate. They're not really sure whether he was gay or not. Because, why did he want to live with THX so badly?
Yeah, he was clearly stalking him.
And a lot of people say, he was doing this after he saw him having sex with LUH on the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you'd have to be pretty creepy to be the guy to watch the monitors, I suppose.
Yeah. And speaking of a little creepy... there's an actor in the cast. I didn't catch him in the movie. A guy named Sid Haig. Have you ever heard of him?
His name sounds very familiar.
Bald, bearded, usually plays bikers. Another B word, just to even things out. look, if you have IMDb up, look him up. You'll know him immediately by sight.
I do. he played the first lawgiver in the original Star Trek series.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the original Batman series.
Yeah, he's been around for a while.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of these guys, I've noticed, they did some TV work. Delvecchio, you don't say, and Quincy, and T.J. Hooker. But it looks like Tarantino and Rob Zombie got a hold of him, though, in the
decade. That's what he's mostly known for.
Yeah.
House of a Thousand Corpses.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever it's called.
That was it.
Okay, I'm not sure. But yeah, I noticed his name in the credits. I couldn't pick him out of the out of the movie particularly. Unfortunately, he probably looked very different back then. Although, probably also bald.
Probably bald.
Like everybody in the movie.
He's probably an inmate or something.
Yeah, he might have been. And speaking of the prison scene. Particularly when they bring in the shell dweller.
Yeah.
Was that not the most surreal thing you've ever seen in a while outside of a Terry Gilliam movie?
I don't know. We've seen some surreal movies from the planet 1970s.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking very Gilliam,
I'm looking at you, Zardoz.
Yeah.
Now, the prison scene. He's a... SCN is, of course, making... I got his name right. Yes, yeah, SCN is making these grand speeches from the asylum.
Mm-hmm.
Did they sound familiar to you at all?
A little bit. Why?
They were mostly taken from Richard Nixon's speeches.
Ah!
Now, Lucas has had, of course, his opinions about Nixon. And it's interesting to see that from 1971, he goes from being like a deluded inmate to about 1980, where he becomes the emperor. So I don't know. We'll have to wait till we get to that episode, or talk about the Holy Trilogy.
The shell dweller scene is another one, I think, but that was very influential for Gilliam.
Now, which version did you watch of this? Did you watch the director's cut?
It was,
director's cut.
I'm not sure. I think it was called the special edition.
All right. Now, Lucas did to this what he's done to his other work. I'm surprised he hasn't done this to American Graffiti, too.
It's nice.
CGI'd some monster trucks in there or something.
Yeah.
But, you notice when they're running down the hallway, what he did in Empire Strikes Back. There's, more people CGI'd in and longer scapes.
Uh-huh.
He also added in at the very end, before he made his grand escape attempt, where he fought those a group of shell dwellers that looked more like monkeys.
I did not see that version.
Yeah.
That I would have noticed.
It was useless.
Wait, no, I did see that. I did see that. I just remembered it. Because they were kind of dark and you weren't sure what they were.
Right. Those were supposed to be other shell dwellers.
That was CG?
Yeah. That was all edited.
It looked like little people in costumes.
Yeah, that wasn't in the original. I almost wish Greedo was there to fire at all of them first.
Yeah.
Someone had to say it.
Yeah. And another Star Wars...
In fact, I'm amazed we've gone this far without making a Greedo fires first joke.
Yeah, yeah. Another bit of Star Wars-related trivia. A scene in which THX falls into a garbage compactor and fends off a mutated rodent.
He had a bad feeling about it.
Yeah, was cut because the monster didn't look realistic. The situation was later reused in episode 4.
And which, after he climbed out
of the
Dianoga
scene, was originally intended for this.
He called a napalm airstrike.
Yeah. Love the smell of that napalm.
The waves! See the waves, which way they break! what do you know about surfing? You're from goddamn New Jersey.
Yeah.
I'm almost out of Colonel Kilgore lines. It just,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just
I'm just
keep
waiting
going. He only had like 10 minutes in the movie.
Now, there is some speculation that THX, or Thex, as LUH calls him, and LUH, as or La, as he calls her, they don't use the initials. They actually try to pronounce the words. That Thex and La were believed to be deliberate homonyms for sex and love.
Right. There's a lot of debate what the names were. That's one theory. Some people suggest that THX 1138 was actually his home phone number.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Like the THX represents the numbers on the buttons, and 1138 was the last four. Yeah. he'll do him a world of good just to not admit what they were, so people can just keep guessing about it for years to come.
It was probably just random.
Yeah, it probably was. I think he actually said himself he just liked the aesthetic
symmetry of it, yeah.
The symmetry of the letters themselves, which, yeah, I guess you could see that, you know, S-E-N, S-R-T, L-U-H.
Or just sounded good, you know, who knows.
Yeah.
Another bit of anachronism, if you will. Well, I guess you can't really say anachronism in a science
fiction. Out of the future.
In the computer room near the end of the film, the lights on one computer can be seen flashing the word tilt.
I'm surprised they weren't using like the index cards or whatever they had.
The
punch cards for computers back then.
Well, they had switches and, you know, oscilloscopes, and that was just
Yeah, that was the problem I had with the science fiction here. Mm-hmm. It would have been one thing to have said this was the 21st century.
Yeah.
But to say it's the 25th, I don't know.
cars that clearly still have gas.
Right.
And we talked about the car crash before, but when it hit the pole, what was all the water that spilled out? Or fuel? Was that fuel?
I don't know.
It was like a water balloon burst.
Right. Maybe he was just doing the 25th century to do the whole Buck Rogers thing, although that was the 24th, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure why it was that set that far ahead into the future, you know, when he really didn't have the budget for the technology to make it look that way.
And again, if you're going that far, if you're going maybe more than 10 years into the future, for anybody intending to write or direct science fiction who may be listening to this, feel free to just get irrational with the technology.
Right.
Make it, give it no resemblance to anything we have now. I made fun of the crystals when we did Zardoz, but at least that's something that, you know, maybe will happen someday.
Well, right. Star Trek ran their ship off of some crystals.
And it's better than, you know, I'd rather see, you know, a science fiction movie that, you know, we've gotten to that time and we don't have that technology yet. We're still waiting for the...
We just wouldn't understand it ourselves anyway, being from this time period.
Right. Well, and I'd much rather see, you know, 2010 with jetpacks than, 2510 with analog computers.
Yeah.
Overshooting is better.
Right.
Overestimating our technological growth, far better than underestimating it.
So, yeah. That was the only problem I had with his overall science fiction. Really, of course, the point of the movie is that it's not really the future. that it was 1971 he was talking about more than anything else. Which is just like Idiocracy.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't talking about the future. He was talking about right then and there.
Right, yeah. Or at least where he saw things going in a much more recent future. Because I don't think the medication was quite that widespread. Who knew he would be that prescient about it?
I bet because in Hollywood it was.
Well, yeah, fair enough, fair
Lucas
enough.
Was probably familiar with Hollywood to know.
Yeah. Well, he was still a film student. This was, like I said, his first film based on a student film that he'd made. So he wasn't in the system yet.
That's when he was sociable, though.
True.
He actually hung out with people back then.
Fair enough.
As opposed to being Zardoz, as he is now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that.
I think yeah. That
did you have anything
it.
Else?
I'm good. I'm done.
Sequels and remakes.
Yeah. Obviously, there aren't going to be any sequels because
he napalmed the entire city.
Well, spoiler alert: he made it to the surface, and it was habitable. Which I guess you could go with sequels after that, but really, what's the point?
Yeah, not a good movie.
A remake could be interesting. It would look a lot like The Island.
A remake could be very interesting of this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that is the problem. The story is very similar to what's already out there.
Yeah.
So,
with the right director, though, again, Gilliam could be interesting.
Yeah. Gilliam is the perfect choice for this, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come to think of it, yeah, Gilliam is, I mean, it's Brazil, it's a little bit of 12 Monkeys, but he could do something very interesting with it.
And, of course, Uncle Bruce there would be the guy.
Oh, yeah.
So, we are up to Brains, then.
I was kind of torn on this one.
I'm very torn on this one.
But I think I'm going to round up and give it a 4.5. It wasn't perfect by any means, but I did really enjoy it this time. And I think he had a hell of a lot more to say in 71 than he's had to say since.
Well, Lucas has, I think he's called a lot of things ahead, a lot more than people give him credit for. Even looking at the prequels and the stuff that came after the prequels even came out.
Really?
Well, think about it. You know, the prequels came out.
You know, late 90s, early 2000s. Oh, but was it
before the Iraq War?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right before it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's kind of creepy how in tune to things he was at the time.
Yeah.
Well, think
yeah.
about it. He wrote about Clone Wars. I mean, he wrote Star Wars, the entire, you know, I guess 9-episode thing.
Well, yeah, the whole thing. He's had that whole story. I mean, it took him 20 years to tell it.
Right.
But, 16 years, I think, in total to tell. But he's had the whole thing in his head since the mid-70s.
I think even earlier than that.
Probably.
I mean, he wrote American Graffiti, or did American Graffiti to fund it.
That's true, yeah.
Actually, he was going to do Apocalypse Now, and he wanted to do it in Vietnam. And, of course, Coppola told him, "You're insane." No. So he skipped Apocalypse Now and set it in a galaxy far, far away, and that's how you have the Ewoks fighting. And right. So, yeah, Apocalypse Now turned into Star Wars. So, you know, a lot of this, he was right on the money. Although you could say it was happening already.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go with the 5.
You're going 5, okay.
Yeah. There's just... The visuals are just awesome. And it would be... It's a shame that he hasn't teamed up with a writer himself.
Well, yeah, he has a couple of times. I mean, the episodes 5 and 6 were written, co-written, and directed by somebody else, and those were the best of them.
Well, episode 5 was 6.
I think
some of the prequels better than I like 6, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. But 5, definitely. I mean, nobody can argue that.
Right, definitely. But I'm talking about redoing some classic literature or something like that, or classic science fiction.
Interesting.
Just take it and do it, you know? Mm-hmm. But he wants to kind of put his own, you know, story out there.
Well, whatever, get a co-writer.
Whatever that vision may be.
Just let somebody else direct the dialogue scenes.
But I think this was his most coherent work.
Probably, yes.
You know, because Star Wars...
He was an angry young man. He had some stuff to say.
But Star Wars, he has a lot to say, and a lot of it's jumbled.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of... You could walk away... You know, like I said, the Emperor is Richard Nixon. He was telling people, you know, about the throne room in Star Wars. Doesn't this look like the Oval Office in the White House?
Oh, yeah.
How many people really walked away from Star Wars realizing he was protesting Vietnam? You know? Not many.
I'm going to have to rewatch the trilogy now.
Because his statement is not clear enough.
No.
Anybody could say, you know, we're the rebels fighting against the evil empire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of conservatives do interpret it that way.
Yeah.
But in this...
Well, who's ever not in power picks, you know, wants to be the rebels.
Right. Well, even when they are, they're still trying to cast themselves as the rebels.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going up against the Soviet Union.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But this one, I think you can't walk out of this not knowing what he's talking about. He's definitely...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very on point. He was very on point, very on message with this one.
As a storyteller, this is his best work, which I know people are going to want to kill me for, but it's true. you can't walk away from this not knowing what he's going to say.
Yeah.
So what have we learned this week?
I learned that consumption leads to happiness.
I learned to buy. Buy.
And on that note,
we should tell them stuff that we always tell them, but tell them it again.
Or, actually, I was just going to skip a whole spiel because we have something big coming next week.
Yes, next week. Huge!
Mm.
Episode 50.
Yes. Something very special planned for that.
Yeah. The movie title will probably be announced before this episode makes the light of day, actually.
And if you look somewhere in the Facebook area, you'll see somebody guessing it correctly.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, the movie will be announced before this episode airs, so
yeah.
We're good.
So until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Let us be thankful we have come. Buy more. Buy more now. Buy and be happy.
Milking machine, if you will.
Oh.